The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hypothetical.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of place.
Beyond. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 235. I'm your host, Greg Miller, alongside... That's right, no Ryan Clements. As predicted, he got a new job.
We totally lied about him. He's done.
He could care less, as we said. Remember last week? And I'm like, he'll never be here again. Alongside is always my only true friend in the whole wide world. He only does everything. Colin Moriarty.
I doubt it.
And the Dark Knight of News, Andrew Goldfarb.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. You have less energy than we do.
How are you?
Into this. That's
hey,
better.
Hey, guys. So Clements is off the show.
Clements did his whole thing last week. Oh, don't worry. I'll still come around. I'll still be on the show. I'm going to, as long as they'll have me. And then this week he's like, peace out. I got to go make a Google calendar, he said.
Yeah.
He's starting to Google calendar. And then he gave me the finger.
Yeah.
He tipped over the coffee truck.
Yeah. So we called an audible. We made some late night, you know, general manager talks for a conditional pick, and
we gave away one of our draft picks for the next time.
Conditional draft pick. We enlisted Andrew Goldfarb, who is untested. He was undrafted last year, and so we don't. But strange things happen with undrafted rookies. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, anyways, Clements is visiting his mom, so he'll be back. Don't worry about it. No big deal. Hey boys, how you doing?
I'm okay.
It's late Thursday.
Yeah,
we recorded an up at noon, but I don't feel crazy tired like I do sometimes. How was the show? How did we do?
Good. I left after the monologue, but it was good.
Oh, okay. Well, the guest this week is none other than Veronica Belmont, formerly of Core, two-time Podcast Beyond member,
Only person in the world with more Twitter followers than Greg.
You're right. Yeah, the only one. Just by a few. My 33,000 to her 1.6 million. Yeah. Anyways, let's start the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
That was a chicken or a turkey.
Oh, okay. Like the gobble. Okay.
Are those gluten-free?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't make fun of me.
I'm sorry, I'm not.
What did you call me before the podcast?
Pity Party Moriarty.
Pity Party Moriarty. Yeah,
just walking by bread and just making frowny faces at everybody. Jesus Christ.
It's true, I am throwing a pity party because I'm 6 days gluten-free.
Oh, wow.
6 days?
I'm talking about like I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah, they give you a keychain to carry around today.
You got a chip? Before we go any further, then, remember, this is a conversational podcast. If you want to be a part of it, beyond@ign.com, just like Tim Whistlehunt from Virginia is. He fired in with quick fires. The
from
first
Virginia's?
One, though, for Virginia, to Colin. We have something in Miley Cyrus, gluten allergy. What are your thoughts on that?
What does that mean?
We have something in common.
But he's
something
common,
in Miley said, Cyrus.
So is he saying we have something in common with Miley Cyrus?
Well, Miley Cyrus is actually the rapper Common.
Weird. I met Common once and I interviewed him and he didn't look anything
like
Miley.
This is a very confusing turn. This is a very confusing podcast.
Yeah.
A strange turn.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be gluten-free forever, but I am trying to, for at least a couple weeks or a few weeks, not eat any gluten. And so far, I'm feeling okay, although I have a raging headache most of the time, so I think it's because
That wasn't what I thought you were going to say when you went in with the raging.
I
got a raging headache for this.
A raging headache.
All right, Roper Report. what's the PlayStation news this week?
Real quick, when did you meet Common? Why did you meet Common?
Let's see. It was 3 years ago at WonderCon. I interviewed the entire cast of Terminator...
Salvation?
Salvation, yeah.
Okay.
And he was in it.
Why did you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, at WonderCon, we don't send that many people up since we're all here.
Yeah, like, so, I mean, I'm old friends with Chris Carl. He's the one who, he's our entertainment head, and he's the one who brought me into the company as an intern and a freelancer. So I help him out when I can, and he asked me to do it. He also has asked me to do cool things like interview Green Day and do all sorts of other things that I've done. So,
wow.
Cool.
Yeah, and the Green Day interviews are on IGN.com. And
the common YouTube one is too, right?
And the common one, yes.
I think the interviews are probably on.
Yeah, they're somewhere. IGN.com. I never watched those interviews, though.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Number one. Oh, there are 12 items on those.
Okay.
Number one, Sony has finally talked openly about its poor financial situation, confirming that Sony Corporation will lose $6.4 billion for the year, a record loss, and lay off 10,000 workers, or 6% of its staff. Freshly anointed Sony CEO Kaz Hirai has promised to restructure the company and get it back into the black under its new quote-unquote one Sony policy, with a concentration on three areas, in particular gaming, digital imaging, and mobile devices. Now, before we even talk about it, I want to say that the $6.4 billion, and I think I'm going to write about this tomorrow when I go through their financials, a lot of that has to do with tax problems in the United States because they didn't make enough money to receive tax breaks in the United States anymore. And so those have to be counted as losses, even though the money never existed. So that's something to keep in mind.
Into the casual fan, this is Sony as a whole, not PlayStation. Mm-hmm. This is not the PlayStation brand fucked everything up. This is Sony.
Yeah. They specifically said it's their chemicals and LCD screens divisions.
Oh, I wonder why. Because nobody wanted 3D. Remember when we all said, this is stupid, stop doing this. And they kept making them. And then they kept making move ones. And we're like, this is bad. Stop what you're doing. They didn't listen.
No, they didn't. So yeah, people have to understand. I mean, whenever I write about Sony financials, I always say, you know, we like to write about them and let people know what the health of Sony is, which is not good right now. But I always say the gaming stuff is popular, and clearly it's one of the things they want to concentrate on. But no one cares about that. Everyone just likes to hate when Sony's doing badly.
Gotta hate. Haters gonna hate.
So we'll see.
You know what it's like.
I know exactly what it's like, actually. Yeah. Number two, the much anticipated level 5 RPG Ni No Kuni has been delayed for release in the West. Originally released in Japan in late 2011 and initially promised for release stateside and in Europe in 2012, Ni No Kuni will now come out in the first quarter of 2013.
Beyond at IGN.com is where you send your message to be part of the show, just like Tim Wisehunt did from Virginia. He asked about Ni No Kuni for the Clements there, but I'll let you do this one too. Ni No Kuni.
Kuni.
I'm just writing like he wrote it.
Oh, okay.
Ni No Nana has been delayed. What are your thoughts on that? You were looking forward to this one, Colin. Colin joint.
Yeah, this is one of my most anticipated games.
Me too.
So it's disappointing because, first of all, we've had Ni No Kuni in like a Japanese PlayStation 3 version of it since December. So we have to continue to look at it for over a year before we get the American version. It kind of reminds me, and I think Goldfarb would agree, it kind of reminds me of the localization process back in the day when it would take a year or two for a game to come out here. It just seems like a weird move, unless Namco is being kind of wily about it and they don't want to put it out during the fall when all these fucking games come out, which is
a good idea.
Yeah, I think that's actually very possible because, like, you saw already, like, October is so crowded right now. Like, there's major games coming out. I think it would drown. So it might be a smart move. But today, though, we got a trailer with the English voice cast. We heard the English voices for the first time.
Was it good?
Awesome.
The game looks so good. It looks so fun.
He says porn star at the end of the trailer. Not sure why.
It wasn't on my radar until I saw Hulk Hogan talk about it on Up at Noon the other week. So that was that was the turning point for me. However, somebody did write in, and I didn't put their question in the thing here, but they were asking, is this another Last Guardian type situation? The answer is no.
No, the game's out. The game's done.
Yeah.
It didn't sell exceptionally well in Japan. I mean, it sold probably a few hundred thousand copies, which is okay for an audience, you know, for a market that's small. But when you consider that One Piece, which we'll talk about in a minute, the new One Piece Pirates crossover game sold 800,000 copies in a week. You know, the market's changing there as well. So, and this is a level 5 game, nonetheless. But Goldfarb said, we have a trailer on IGN right now of the English voice acting for the very first time. The game looks fucking awesome. Definitely check it out. Speaking of One Piece, number three, One Piece Pirate Warriors, the smash hit Japanese PS3 exclusive that sold 700,000 copies in its first week on the market there, has been confirmed for Western release. The title is a collaboration between Namco Bandai and Tecmo Koei, and mixes the One Piece manga series with Dynasty Warriors type gameplay. According to Namco, it will be released exclusively on the PlayStation Network as a digital download. It's worth noting, in Japan it was released as a disc, and we don't know quite why that's happening here. But
it's interesting seeing Namco partnering with lots of people.
It's smart.
Yeah, they're doing that 3DS game with
Project
Sega
Cross.
And Project Cross Zone.
Cross Zone, right?
Yep. You'll get caught up in the Cross Zone.
Did you guys see on Andrea Sang, that which is a Japanese blog run by our old Japanese correspondent?
A noob.
They had these awesome pictures that they released in Japan teasing the game with color palettes.
Yeah.
And it was like real, and it was the color palettes, like, you know, from top to bottom of what color you might see the character in usually. And people guessed correctly almost all the characters. I thought that was like a really clever way to market the game.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
So check that out. That's on IGN. Number four. The Legend of Dragoon, perhaps the single most famous non-Square RPG from the PS1 era, is coming to PlayStation Network as a PS1 classic on May 1st. Friend of podcast Beyond Shuhei Yoshida, who produced the game, revealed that a sequel to the game was in development and subsequently canceled, making fans of it cry around the world. The comments in that story I wrote were so depressing. Someone was like, "You ruined my day." I'm like, sorry. Sorry about that. I'm excited. Legend of Dragoon.
I'm not.
No?
No.
I am. Okay. So fuck you, Greg.
Hey, you know what? Somebody's got to speak up the minority that is just suppressed all the time. You guys and your JRPGs just running around, just running the banging business. The drum. Me and my friends, maybe I want to play some Skyrim, but I can't say that out loud. Because no, then I'll just
don't
be,
say that. That would be really unpopular.
Pushed aside like all the other people who love some Western RPGs.
Go play it on your Kinect.
Xbox on! Number 5, Sony has canceled Core, the PSN-centric digital magazine that began in 2008. The April 2012 version of the magazine will be the very last.
All because Veronica Belmont left.
Could be.
Yeah. Hear her discuss it on Up at Noon this Monday on Start. YouTube.com/Start. Please come subscribe.
Number 6, Resident Evil 6 has a new release date. And believe it or not, it will be coming out sooner than originally planned, as opposed to not at all, which would be having been planned to come out on November 20th, Resident Evil 6 will now be released on October 2nd.
Hooray!
Yeah, it's interesting because, like I was saying a minute ago, October is crazy. Like, now, the first week we have that, right after that we have Bioshock, then Assassin's Creed. It's getting crowded.
Yeah, and I know we got an email, and you probably didn't print it out, about Resident Evil 5 and how I feel about Resident Evil 5, and I always say I don't like it, and I think it sucks. And the person asked me if I would ever admit that it's a good game, and the answer is no. I will never admit it. If it was not a Resident Evil game, it would be an average third-person shooter. Because it's a Resident Evil game, and because it's supposed to be scary and all that stuff, and you have this chick running around with you that just carries your fucking herbs and your ammo, I would say it's not a very good game. And I mean, Resident Evil 6 looks like it's going to be the same thing.
The thing is, like, they've been talking about the co-op stuff a lot, and it does seem like they're doing it better. I agree that, like, coming off of a game that was controversial for its co-op, it's funny to be like, and now there's 3 characters doing co-op. Like, it seems weird. They released a bunch of the multiplayer modes and stuff, though. Like, it has Mercenaries mode and all that good stuff.
So, yeah. Capcom, that game doesn't do anything for me.
No, I mean, it would if it was like Resident Evil 4 or any of the other Resident Evils. Zero, and, you know, that's a great game.
Tank controls.
Zero is great.
Yeah, Resident Evil Zero, underrated on GameCube.
Yeah.
But Capcom has not been known to not be a tone-deaf company, as proved by number 7. Capcom has revealed that Lost Planet 3 is in development and will be released sometime in 2013. What's strange about this announcement isn't that a new Lost Planet is coming, but that Spark Unlimited has been entrusted with developing one of Capcom's most beloved contemporary franchises. Spark previously worked on the Duds, Legendary, and Turning Point Fall of Liberty, not exactly filling gamers with excitement or optimism. That was probably one of the biggest surprises I've heard in a long time when I found out who was developing that game.
It's weird because, the Lost Planets were never like, Lost Planet! They were like, okay, received. They were decent games, you know what I mean? And then, now you're switching developers, which you would be like, oh, that's interesting. Maybe it'll be cool. And then it's the people who did Fall of Liberty.
Yeah, what a weird decision. And it's like, Lost Planet, like, the first Lost Planet game was great. And, it, you know, I think people loved it. They were talking about a movie. It was like this big deal. Lost Planet 2, like, didn't sell well. No one liked it. I think we gave it a 6 on IGN. And, like, Capcom, during their earnings report that year, they were like, they just blamed everything on Lost Planet. They were like, oh, that piece of shit. Like, that
hey, guys, did you check out this thing?
Yeah, exactly.
And so to like, revive it, we're going to give it to Spark Unlimited.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Everybody deserves second chances, Colin.
That's true. Every developer pretty much is, well, not every developer. I can name a bunch of developers that haven't made any bad games, but. They're, you know, a lot of good developers have made bad games, so we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. And I will say,
time constraints. You have to hit a deadline. You have to hit a milestone. You have publisher. Publisher breathing down your neck trying to get the game out.
Yeah, I mean that is a good excuse, and I think a valid excuse, and especially because Turning Point: Fall of Liberty was a great idea. That was a fucking really good idea for a game. But, and I love it. It's alternate history and all that stuff, and that's really good stuff. The Nazis invade the United States. That's good stuff. But,
what about Legendary the Box? That was a good idea. Pandora's Box. Yeah. It's a great idea.
But I don't really buy that as a valid excuse when you, like, we always talk about, like, Naughty Dog, 2-year development cycle for one of the best games ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think if they needed more time, I think Sony would give it to them. Maybe not now in the post Last Guardian.
But they don't need
Shuhei
more time.
Yoshida cracking the whip, but.
But the point is that they don't need more time.
True.
And Sony developers typically, well, I don't want to say typically because there are examples of this too, but they like to put their release dates way out in the future and then they actually hit them for the most part. The Last Guardian, notwithstanding, and Gran Turismo.
It's the exception that proves the rule.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Number 8, Zen Pinball 2 has been announced for PS3 and PlayStation Vita. Better yet, the game will be completely free and will allow players to import tables from the original Zen Pinball into both the PS3 and Vita versions. Zen Pinball 2 appears to rely on microtransactions contingent on players buying new tables as they go. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, people love Zen Pool. Yep.
And it's cool that you can take your tables, it seems, from the PS3 original version and bring them onto the Vita.
Yeah, that's true. That's cool.
Number 9, Journey was the best-selling game on PlayStation Network in March, with Infamous Festival of Blood, Resident Evil 4 HD, Motorstorm RC, and Killzone 3's multiplayer component rounding out the top 5.
Hard to believe Festival of Blood still sound like that.
Yeah, it is. It is, because it's not that good.
No, don't fucking say that. You and I fight on that. That's a good game.
Escape Plan, Unit 13, Tales from Space, About a Blob, Super Stardust Delta, and Plants vs. Zombies were March's top 5 best-selling PSP games.
Plants vs. Zombies, you say?
That's right.
Well, Colin, do I have something related to Plants vs. Zombies for you?
Oh my god, it's a zombie!
Ah, good one, Gold Farm.
Fuck
you
off.
Can drink your iced coffee for a second there. Let the big boys talk, all right? our good friends at Sony Online Entertainment have provided us with 10 codes to give away for Plants vs. Zombies and 10 Plants vs. Zombies statues to give away. So you get two things once. And I know what you're about to say, ladies and gentlemen. Wait a second, Greg. I won blank prize blank number of years ago, and you've never sent it. You keep saying it's under your desk. That's very true, Uncharted people who want Uncharted stuff. Sorry. That's why the Sony Online people will send you the statue straight away, and I will email you the code.
I'd like a statue.
It's too late. I'm sorry. Mm. I just announced 10. I'll see if I can pull some strings for you and get you a Plants vs. Zombies statue.
I have one already. I wonder if it's the same.
Is it in the? It's like the disco guy, I think.
No. Oh, it's a zombie.
Yeah.
Oh, I want a plant.
Oh, sorry. No.
I'll take a disco zombie.
No, okay, fine. Well,
I don't like the zombies. I like the plants.
Well, I guess we're battling. Why?
You can't move on with the Roper Report. We didn't tell people how to win this stuff, but you're all set.
That's it.
So email
number 10.
beyond@ign.com and answer me this question. What is Ryan Clements' middle name?
Oh.
It's been discussed here on the podcast, I'm sure, at some point. Maybe.
It has been.
Okay, good.
Number 10.
beyond@ign.com. What's Ryan's name? I'll pick 10. The first 10 winners get the 10 prizes. I'll email you back. You'll have to give me your address, and I will give you the code, and then you can get your thing from Sony. If they don't ship internationally, that's your own fault. Move to America. Love it or leave it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And I'm proud to be an American. Australian bus full of nuns flipped over.
Number 10.
Hey, we're listening.
Konami has dropped Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker from the PlayStation Vita version of the Metal Gear Solid HD collection. This leaves only Metal Gear Solid 2, Metal Gear Solid 3, and the MSX versions of Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2 onto the collection. That's kind of whack, but I understand why they did it.
Yeah, King Brando wrote into beyond@ign.com just like you can. He says, with all the talk about Peace Walker, I was really looking forward to it coming to the Metal Gear collection on Vita. With no Peace Walker, what do you think about that? And why do you think they have no plans for it? Or what, do they have other plans for it? This has been interesting because a kid on Twitter approached me asking me about it not being on the collection, and I said no, that's, if you remember, there was a whole bunch of confusion when the PS3 version was coming out about what territories got what game and blah 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 blah, and Kojima laid it out once in a blog and made it sound like the Vita version was getting Peace Walker. Our official fact page still has Peace Walker on it, and that was the confusion. The kid asked me about it not being on the Vita. I was like, no, it's totally on the Vita. You're crazy. Maybe not in Europe. And then, of course, this news broke from Mike Thompson. He went and saw some Vita games for us, and that it's not there. And some kids thought they'd known it the whole time. Others didn't know. Whatever. The thing is that it's incredibly disappointing, especially for the fact that if you bought the PS3 version thinking you could go back and forth, transfer if you want, if you will.
I like transferring.
It doesn't make sense that it sucks that you can't transfer now to your PS Vita with the Peace Walker save, especially because if you have it on PSP already digitally and you install it on your Vita currently can't transfer. Like your Vita, when you connect it to the PS3, doesn't look at it and say, oh, here, we're transferring data this way. So you're totally screwed out of that feature that would have been there. And so I guess the reason they haven't done this, and this is me speculating, of course, is that you already have a way to get Peace Walker by buying the PSP version, and that you don't have to, I guess, don't have to patch in trophies and all the other jazz, but it really sucks.
To me, I don't know if this is true. I mean, this is conjecture too, is that Konami has nothing anyone cares about right now. Like,
true. That's a true
point. At all. So they look at Peace Walker on PSP and probably on the PSN, and they're like, this is actually probably making us money.
People are going to pay $30 to play the PSP
and they're probably like, we got to take this out because people will just buy it. Yeah. And that's, I assume that's what happened.
You figure it's $40 right now for Metal Gear 3 or Metal Gear 2 and Metal Gear 3 in the collection on the Vita. And then,
Pretty good deal.
No, totally. Those games are awesome. This isn't taking away from that collection. When I'm sure I'll end up reviewing that collection. When I do, I'm not going to knock it seriously. I'll point out that, you know, it isn't there, but you're still getting two amazing games on the go, whatever, that do transfer. Those games, that's what's so backwards about this whole thing, is that those games transfer between the PS3 version and the Vita version. But for some reason right now, maybe it'll be patched, maybe when the other game comes out, it doesn't see the Vita save, or I'm sorry, the Peace Walker save.
Right.
Very confusing. It's all very weird. But yeah, I think it is an almighty dollar kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
I guess. I was really looking forward to playing Peace Walker again for trophies.
Yeah.
On the go.
I was too. I mean, but Peace Walker is on the PS3 version.
PS3 version, correct. Yes. You can play it on the PS3.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, none of this technical shit makes any sense. It's already patched for trophies and it's already upscaled. So that really leads me to believe it has to be like a money issue. And I understand that because Konami refuses to make a fucking Castlevania game.
Yeah.
So that's that. And they released this broken Silent Hill shit that I had known nothing about, but apparently it's all fucked up. Yeah. And the Silent Hill game on Vita just was supposed to come out one day and then it just never came out.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, maybe, I mean, you're asking what does it mean for it? Either they're going to leave it as a PSP or don't be surprised if at E3 they announce the Vita downloadable version in HD with all the stuff and trophies, and then we wait another year to get it to download.
Here's what I say about Konami.
Tell me what you say.
They're going to be in trouble soon.
You think so?
Yeah.
It's one of the things I have been saying that, and I just don't ever see it happen.
It's just like they...
If they don't get Revengeance out...
Could you just imagine... Like, that's one thing. Can you imagine how much it cost them to make that game and then cancel it and then make it again?
Yeah.
Like, that's a bold move. They should have never probably done that, you know, because they probably are going to lose money on the game because no one really cares about Metal Gear right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know. Silent Hill, I think they lost a lot of cachet with fans with Silent Hill, like all this shit. And like I said, like I know I'm a huge Castlevania fan and stuff, but like, what are you fucking doing over there with Castlevania? You release a DS or a 3D or a DS or a GBA or whatever version of the game every year for like 10 years or not like 8 years. And they were awesome and everyone loved them. And then just nothing for 3 years.
Yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't port those over.
Yeah, just bring them all over. All of them.
One collection.
I'd pay hundreds of dollars for a collection with all of those games on it. You know, it's like, amazing. Those games are fucking awesome.
They haven't done it on 3DS or even on the eShop or anything either. Like, I mean, they're not putting it anywhere. It's
weird.
Not even, yeah, it's a weird decision. And as far as Revengeance, like, I forgot that game was even coming. Like, it's like, how weird is that? Like,
because everyone's forgotten it's coming.
Yeah.
No one believes it.
A point, like, I mean, if that had come out last fall, that would have been, like, an anticipated game. And now it's like... We've done lists of our 20 most anticipated games of 2012, and I don't think anyone said Revengeance. Or
I mean, is it one of those things? Is that coming out this year?
No.
I
don't think so.
Yeah, I sincerely doubt it's coming out this year. And I don't know if anybody's yelling at their iPod right now, but they've never announced a release date, I don't think.
No.
And I don't think they've ever targeted years or anything either. But
I don't think it's going to come out next year. I mean, I can't imagine that. Who's developing it now?
It's Platinum.
Platinum Games. Platinum, yeah. So Platinum Games is... I mean, Platinum made Vanquish, which is one of the best games of the generation. Let's be serious for a minute. So, you know, they have great credentials, but... Assuming they've been working on the game for a year, they need another year and a half or so. I mean, it's a Metal Gear game. Like, what do you, you know? And that's what I'm saying. If you're not going to put the time in, you're going to release it mid next year or something like that. You should have just released the fucking old version of the game with the watermelon getting chopped and all that shit. Number 11, Escape Plan DLC is now live, but you may be at a loss as to how to find it. Unlike virtually all DLC, Escape Plan's DLC isn't on the PlayStation Store. Instead, since it's completely free and comes bundled with a substantial patch that fixes some issues with the game and comes in at a whopping 500 megs, you'll need to go to the game's live area while connected to PSN to begin to download. And I suggest you do so because it fixes many things about the game.
You do where you click on it, right, and then up, like from the screen where it says hit to start, you have to then click up the
little
download
button.
Yeah,
there's like an arrow button or whatever. And if you're connected to PSN, it might just prompt you to download when you start it up.
Mm-mm.
But either way,
it's a good tip. A lot of games I know do that. That's how I think there was an Uncharted patch a while ago that you had to get that way too.
Yeah, and I talked to Jeff at PlayStation Blog.
Rubenstein.
Yep.
Zombie Blog Neck.
And because I was confused, I'm like, where the hell is he? He's like, it's in the live area. And I'm like, I'm gonna write an article about that. So
I'm surprised he could take a break from the minis to get going. But I guess his wife now and daughter they're cranking away next to him.
They made Cannibal. Now they're just chilling out. Number 12, this is the last one. Capcom has confirmed that the PlayStation Vita version of Street Fighter Cross Tekken will support seamless online crossplay between the Vita and PS3. How this will end up working in real time, of course, remains to be seen. Although indications from the event said that it works.
Yeah, I remember somebody wrote about that and they said it was working well.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot
of... Rich George, maybe.
Yeah, Rich probably, and I've been seeing a lot of Twitter chatter about it too, that it actually works.
Yeah, they showed it, though, it wasn't like real time. Like, they showed it... simulated. So in other words, they showed someone playing it on Vita, they showed someone playing it on PS3 to show how it will work, and they
because you couldn't wrap your head around that.
Yeah. Well,
what would it look like?
The problem is they said it'll work on 3G and Wi-Fi, and
which doesn't
like,
make any sense.
Yeah, it's not
hard to believe.
Yeah, I can't imagine people playing PS3 versus Vita over 3G. Like, there will be so much lag that won't happen.
If that's true, and Capcom somehow made that work,
that'd be huge.
It'd be amazing.
Then that's going to set new precedent, especially for that Call of Duty game.
One other cool thing as far as connectivity is that the Vita version has 12 new characters, and if you connect the Vita version to the PS3 version, you unlock those characters. or you can buy them as DLC on the PS3 version.
Get some coal up in this biz.
And obviously, those are the ones that everyone's freaking out about because they were already on the disc and mm-hmm. there are fights.
Coal being in that game, by the way, has to indicate that Infamous 3 is going to be announced. I just feel like, because by the time that game comes out, I feel like E3, we're going to see Infamous 3 and or Infamous on Vita. More likely, so. I think.
Yeah,
and,
that would be awesome.
And because they need, I think Sony probably realized, and they need first party cred right now on there really bad. And I think an Infamous game would be fucking gangbusters for them.
Totally.
In relative terms.
I mean, that was the big thing when they announced it, remember, is that you and I looked at each other and talked about it, that this was Sony saying, we believe in Sucker Punch, we believe in this franchise, Cole is on the level of Sackboy, of Nathan Drake, a face of this company that we can't deny. You know what I mean? It's a big deal.
So, I mean, I'm so excited to see what Sucker Punch is working on. That's my most anticipated question mark right now.
I hope it turns out to be a dance game.
Me too. I wouldn't mind if it's not Infamous, as long as it's something fucking dope. Yeah. You know? But I want one more Infamous.
Come on, that mad scientist Nate Fox up there, he's not going to give you something crappy.
No,
he's got the beakers out in his lab coat making a game. He's all set.
That's it.
Oh, wow, okay. Well, you know, me and Goldfarb here, we're excited for that Infamous game, but that's not coming out for a long time.
It's not even announced, or maybe not even might be real at all.
It doesn't even exist. Colin.
Yeah.
If Goldfarb and I wanted to hold hands and go to the old Brock and Pop Mop shop, where would we go to find out what games are there?
You go to the official upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms. I fucked that one up.
No, you got it.
I don't have the list today.
Oh.
It's the official upcoming PlayStation.
Yeah. There's no games. There's no games this week.
All right, then. I will fill in for Ryan. I lied to the Podcast Beyond audience, Clements.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your digital update. You got some PSN games. Skullgirls. He gave that a what? I forget.
8.5, I think.
8.5. You got the Sour Patch Kids, World Gone Sour.
Mm-hmm.
You're reviewing that one.
Oh, yeah.
Not bad.
No, not at all. All
right.
It's cheap, dude.
Look for the review here on IGN. Yeah, $5. $4.99. Yeah. That's a good deal. Also, worth pointing out, that got trophies?
Yeah.
That's a full game for $4.99. Get your shit together, minis.
I have all the trophies but two bronzes. Like I got a gold for
no
beating
platinum.
It. No platinum. Imagine that game had a platinum. Then Nothing would make sense.
Nothing would make sense.
4 hours, maybe.
Oh, okay, cool. And then Pinball Arcade.
Yeah, I downloaded that on Vita.
Yeah, $10 goes back and forth between Vita and PSN. What'd you think of it?
It's a pinball game. Like pinball video game players are like really hardcore about their pinball games. Yeah. But I don't really feel confident in assessing that product. But I know that that product is supposed to be different than Zen in that like it's supposed to be like very realistic and I use real tables and stuff like that.
Okay. Then over on Vita, yeah, Pinball Arcade's still there. Is it a one-time purchase? Get both?
Yeah, you get versions? Both for one.
Nice. And then for free, the Treasures of Montezuma Blitz.
Don't get me started on the fucking game.
There's an article going up on IGN about Montezuma Blitz. Not free at all.
Spoilers. It's not free.
No, it's not. It's bullshit is what it is.
Oh my gosh. Then you got a mini. It's called Defenders of the Mystic Garden. PlayStation Plus gets a Cannonball for free.
Of the Mystic Garden?
Mystic Garden. Okay.
What's mystic about it?
I don't know. I didn't make it. You can call Jeff and he'll give you the whole thing.
We'll do.
You get Mystic Garden for free if you're PlayStation Plus. There's a House of the Dead 4 demo, bunch of DLC, discounts on Dead Block. It's a mini. Lol.
I like that you printed out screenshots in there. That was a good
one. Well, I wanted to do the opposite of what Clements does, where he prints off 7 pages of the Google Docs.
And he refuses to look at them before he needs to.
Exactly, before he reads them. So he sits here and reads it in front of us. Even though I just kind of did the same thing. But I shortened. I know nobody cares about the discounts. I just print off the article Colin works so hard on because he already cuts it down to what it needs to be.
And plus, printing from IGN is so easy. So I know why you
Yeah, I just copy and paste into Word. So that's your digital downloads. Now, here's something. Can you blow the dust off this for me, Moriarty? Thanks, Goldfarb, I guess. Whatever.
Sorry, I was yawning.
Yeah. He was nowhere near his mic.
I guess nobody would have known the difference. We had our good friend Tim Biggs write in. We don't really know Tim, but he's a Beyond listener, right. So he's clearly our friend. He wrote into beyond@ign.com with a mini review. We haven't had one of these in forever.
Good.
This is the mini review for Floating Cloud God Saves the Pilgrims.
Is that real? Maybe?
I don't know, but I hope it is because it sounds awesome. I looked through. It wasn't in today's update, and we've never talked about it before, to my knowledge. So I'm not sure if he made it up or maybe he's in the UK and he got it before.
Yeah, it could
but
be. But
either way, I like it. And if it is made up, maybe this is just him testing it and this is how little we think of minis that we think this could be a real one. Tim writes, continuing the recent trend of describing the majority of the game experience in the title, Floating Cloud God Saves the Pilgrims is a mini that tasks you as a floating cloud god with saving some pilgrims. It's unclear why Rubenstein and company insist on naming conventions when, in this case at least, it robs the player of some of the potentially interesting aspects of the game. The aspect in which they say, wait, I'm some kind of floating cloud god. Unfortunately, floating cloud god saves the pilgrims is exactly what you expect from a mini. The text is huge, the gameplay is repetitive, the sound design is annoying, and its entire existence is baffling. Thank you, Tim. Remember, if you want to play a mini and then send in your mini review, do so to beyond@ign.com. Don't make them up. We'll have to check this one in the UK stores.
By the way, yeah. You said Rubenstein, and you yelled at me last week for saying Rubenstein.
Did I yell?
Yeah, you yelled at me.
Really?
You screamed at me.
On air?
You screamed.
Really?
No, not really. You scolded me.
Yeah.
We quarreled.
Jeff Rubenstein, everybody.
Yes.
Over at the PlayStation
blog.
It.
I'm just saying you said
him and his friend Ray Guti Potato and Sid Alien.
Sid Alien?
Yeah. Well, that was a bad one.
Sid know. Vicious.
I liked it.
You didn't like it. Shut up. Go for him.
All right. I liked it.
Toe. What do we leave off the Roper report there, Moriarty?
Sour Patch Kids game.
Shut the fuck up.
Will vengeance bring redemption?
Will vengeance bring redemption? 0412.
1912.
No, damn it. It's 1912.
The announcement happened today.
Just shut up. if you didn't catch it last night because you were sleeping like Colin and I, there's a PlayStation Facebook post that went up. It's just words. It says, yeah, revengeance. Is coming.
Revengeance is transpiring.
Yeah, revenge. it looks like a God of War 4 teaser. When you blow, it's an image. It's got a God of War 4 look or God of War look to it. Then you blow it up, and down in the corner, it looks like a little bit of swirl in the blades of chaos there. So it looks like an announcement is coming in some kind of way next Thursday, the 19th, April 19th. Beyond will maybe wait for it, maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah.
We think it's God of War.
I think it's pretty obvious.
I think it's pretty, yeah, we all think it's pretty obvious, right?
Yep.
It's one of those things, Colin and I did a video, I heard it won a Webby while we were up here.
Wow.
It was about, yeah, us discussing this. It's possible that could be something else. Title fight has been rumored. It's one of those things, God of War has been so rumored lately. And the tester people were going to work on a blockbuster game from Sony Santa Monica, and they make God of War, and that's the blockbuster, right?
Connecticut 2.
Christian Phillips to Connecticut 2. anyways, though. It's got to be God of War 4, I say. It could be Title Fight. I think you've kicked around other ideas, too. You were talking stuff.
I was just saying.
We're saying 99% probably God of War. And then we're saying the 1% Title Fight. And then the 0% all these other games.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm just... And just to spitball and make it more interesting, because it's too obvious, you know what I mean? Like, I remember before I saw it today, when it came out, I'm like, I'll write an article about the five games it could be. Because maybe it's Siphon Filter, maybe it's The Getaway, maybe, you know? But then I looked at it, I saw it, I'm like, ugh. Like, this isn't... Interesting. This is so obvious.
I mean, the way around it is it could be a curveball, and it is a title fight announcement, and Kratos is in the game, so they get away with it.
Right.
But then it doesn't even make that much sense, the revengeance coming.
I think it's going to be a new trailer for Little Big Planet Karting.
Really?
That would be awesome. With Will Vengeance bring redemption, and then it's like Sackboy driving his car.
Brendan from Scarborough writes in beyond@ign.com. Beyond!
Beyond.
With the picture on Sony's Facebook page seemingly being God of War 4, I was wondering how excited you are for God of War 4.
Yeah, I'm not excited at all.
I liked God of War 3 a lot. Like a fine wine, my appreciation of God of War games has aged over time to the point where I enjoy them.
Yeah, it's this weird thing where like... I'm honestly not that excited for God of War 4, but I am excited for a God of War 4 trailer because like that's a game that's gonna have awesome set pieces and they're gonna like how are they gonna top themselves and what big fucking crazy things are you gonna fight this time?
Yeah.
Like I think it'll be cool.
Yeah,
I'll play it.
Yeah, of course you will. You play everything.
That's
your Intrigal Farm.
I'll play it too. I mean, what I've realized about God of War is that I'm a little harsh on it because mechanically the games are great and. They're fun in a sense, but they're just so uninspired and repetitive, and that's like what really bothers me. It's like when I look at like the whole stable of things, and people love God of War almost more than almost anything, except for maybe Uncharted, you know. And it's like, why? That's kind of, it's the same thing I feel about Killzone. Frankly, it's like there are really awesome games that we ignore, like a franchise that we ignore, and then people eat up God of War, and that's their prerogative. And I appreciate that because mechanically the games are great, but I just can't get excited about it because I know it's just going to probably be the same fucking thing, you know?
Yeah, we talk about this all the time how we don't like Kratos as a character.
He's a terrible character.
Yeah, I agree.
It's funny because like the combat is just fun. Like
that's the thing about
it. Play.
And I think they're beautiful. Beautiful
they
games.
Look amazing,
they're fun
for sure.
You want to see the crazy kill that he's going to do on whatever he's about to do.
It's like I am excited visually for it. Yeah, because like this could be the swan song of the PlayStation 3 in terms of like the peak of its visuals.
No
you
way.
Know? Like it could, dude.
Uncharted runs rings around God of War 3.
Look at God of War 2 on PS2. Like that was like the was culmination of what the PS2 could do. Like I would love to see Santa Monica.
Well, you never played
Oni,
so there you go.
Touche. Here's another interesting fact, by the way, I was thinking about. Now with God of War 4 presumably on the horizon soon, probably this year at some point, Sony Santa Monica has created four God of War games and consulted on an asinine amount of PSN and other games in the time that Team Japan or Team ECO has been working on The Last Guardian. So add that to the list of things that I've said.
Yeah,
about
crazy.
All the games that have come out in the meantime. I have never thought about them in that context.
Jack writes into beyond@IGN.com. He says, I have a question, and I am intrigued what your answer will be, especially Colin. So here it goes. If there is a major PS3 God of War title, perhaps 4, in development for release this year, will it affect the potential release of The Last of Us this year? Sony has gone out on record saying recently that they are going to release fewer titles per year so as to let those titles have more room to breathe. Also, it is generally known that Sony has always listed The Last of Us for late 2012, early 2013. What do you say, Colin? Jack's got you on the spot.
No, I mean, I don't know what Naughty Dog intends on doing. I'm just saying that Naughty Dog, it would make sense if Naughty Dog released the game every year from now on. And so, you know, with Orbis rumors swirling, presumably Orbis comes out at the end of 2013, you assume a Naughty Dog game will be a launch game. And so The Last of Us would therefore come out in late 2012.
So
now, this is a good point, but I mean, for all we know, God of War 4 can come out this summer. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we had a rumor story up about it maybe being released in September. That was some retailer leak or whatever.
Yeah, so if that comes out September and then they release, you know, I assume there's probably going to be maybe a Killzone game or something this year. And then.
No way.
Guerrilla's working on something. We haven't seen anything in 2 years.
Exactly, and I don't think you're going to see it at E3 and they're going to say it'll be out in 2 months.
They're working on something. Maybe Killzone Vita. And then, although Cambridge is doing that, not Guerrilla.
Yeah, Cambridge, yeah.
But Sony Cambridge. But maybe The Last of Us in November or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I'm it's really wishful thinking that The Last of Us is coming out this year. But it makes sense to me if Naughty Dog wants to, you know, release a game every year with two teams and going back and forth, yeah, whatever. Because otherwise, it's gonna be two of their games in the same year.
Yeah, like, I think even if Sony put them both out this year, it wouldn't be against them trying to slow down production or not to, you know.
They wouldn't hurt each other. Like I don't think.
Well, that's the big argument we made last year when we came out of last year, right? That all these PlayStation exclusives that should have been huge games did not do huge numbers because we think, oh, Resistance got great scores and that's cool. It sounds cool, but I'm saving my money for Uncharted.
I mean, maybe. I guess I can see that, but like, I think the people buying God of War are the people who bought the first three God of Wars.
True.
Like, I mean, I think because it's a numbered sequel, it's kind of different than. Like, The Last of Us is fucking exciting for very different reasons than a God of War fan would be excited for God of War 4.
True, true, true. Interesting.
We'll see. I mean, he brings up a good point.
I mean, I would say The Last of Us is the one that could move to 2013. God of War 4, I would be very, very surprised if it didn't come out in 2012.
Interesting.
Whereas The Last of Us, like, I can kind of see coming out early 2013.
Yeah, I guess.
We'll see.
See, it's just so weird. I don't know. It's usually you make an announcement at E3. Usually, it's not that year. That's my thing. That's my thought process on it. You know what I mean? That's why I would flip the coin and say it's more likely that Last of Us comes out this year and God of War is a spring. It was a spring game. God of War 3 was a spring game too.
God of War 1 was a spring game, and God of War
2 was. Yeah, 2 was as well.
So they were all actually, to be fair, they all came out around the same time.
Yeah,
because it was March. Yeah. God of War 1 was March 05.
But the announcement's not at E3. It's in April.
True. That's also true. You got me pegged here.
Can we bet a pizza on it?
No. I don't feel that strongly about it.
How many pizzas are in circulation?
Yeah, I know. I don't even know anymore. Somebody's going to cash me out one day. Bankrupt me.
Cash you out.
Speaking of this God of War business, like we said, the winner of Tester Season 3 was going to go work at Sony Santa Monica on their next big blockbuster, probably God of War 4, we're assuming here. That's what we're guessing. We don't know for sure, but we do know for sure who the winner of the Tester is. If you don't want to know, plug ears. It's Achilles Might. And Achilles is here with us right now. That's right, Colin. Our Tester Season 3 journey has come to an end.
Has it?
After just going through the piles and piles of losers, of carcasses that weren't worthy of Brent Gokey's boot heel, we finally come to the winner, Mr. Achilles Might.
Beyond!
Oh, Achilles, I'm so glad you won. You, in reality, you said Beyond. You weren't a jerk like Christy Pride, too good for the Beyond when I was on the show, or Sky Diddy, who had no idea what I was. But here you are. Look at you. Again, the Season 3 winner of the Tester, just like Seasons 1 and 2, Colin, Beyond fan.
It's no coincidence.
I'm just saying that if obviously we get the best PlayStation fans listening, you go far.
Indeed.
Yep.
Achilles, at what point did you say, I have this in the bag? Was it like when you walk, as soon as you walk in, you look around and you're like, man, I look like a man, and the rest of these people are clearly man children. I'm going to just beat the shit out of each one of them.
You know, I had to fight that urge to just display, you know, just alphaness. So I kind of tried to humble myself back. And, honestly, they were fierce. The competition was kind of fierce, man, and you never knew what to expect, especially from people like Diddy. I mean, Diddy's like a, he's a ninja.
He's a wild card.
Yeah, he definitely is a wild card. You know, Ego was talented. You know, he definitely had the creativity going, so I had to watch that. But, you know, I definitely didn't want to underestimate anybody. So, you know, at no point I wanted to do that. So, but, you know, during the final challenge, that, you know, like when I came in there and I was playing Starhawk, I've never played a game like that, like with that much focus. So I was kind of in the zone, like in the zone. So it was probably around then. I was like, you know, I'm probably going to take this thing. So.
Good. Now, you know, we've talked to all the female losers too. That was fun. All right, Colin.
Yeah.
Slimy high five. Anyways, you know, they talked a little bit at times about how, you know, people would look past them maybe because they were a female gamer. When you came on, were you worried about people looking past you because you're just so goddamn beautiful? Just, like, I think reality called you like the most perfect human being last time, and that's pretty right.
Nah, man. I was trying to troll like when I first got out of the van, because I had my glasses on, I kept them on just for a reason, because I wanted everybody to think I was an asshole. just to think I was just like, you know, I was a brown noser. So I wanted them to catch that, and so I can come from behind and you know, be a leader. So everybody was surprised when that happened. But nah, man, like, you know, I wasn't really worried about, you know, how people viewed me too much.
Gotcha.
We weren't there for that, so.
Now, so you've always been a nice guy, right? I follow you on Twitter now. You've always been very nice. You retweet the people who are telling you, you know, you're doing well on the show. Were you nice on Twitter just because you knew you won and you didn't want to burn a bridge with Santa Monica before you got there?
No, man. That's just how I was raised. You know, I was brought up to, you know, to be respectful, and I keep that going with me. So, you know, I try to give back as much as I can, and, you know, just to let people know that, hey, you know, I'm not like, I don't think I'm bigger than life or, you know, or better than anybody or cocky. So
gotcha. You know, so now how much does your life change? What were you doing beforehand, and then when are you moving to Santa Monica?
Well, I mean, right now, you know, I've been kind of waiting in the wings, just waiting on the word, but I should be starting probably in the next couple weeks here. It's really soon, so they're going to throw me right in there, and I just can't wait. It's the unknown, you know, so it could be scary, but I actually find the unknown kind of alluring.
Yeah, well, what were you doing beforehand?
I'm in school. You know, I'm still in a
glad you can put that behind you, right? Man, fuck books. It's over. You got a job now, son.
Nah, you never stop learning, man. So, but at least to take a break. You know, I definitely need a break. So, you know, definitely to focus on this, and this is exciting. So I can't wait to start.
Well, good. Achilles, I wish you the best. Before I let you go, Colin Moriarty has a test. He puts all the testers through. Now, again, the losers, they haven't done well in this test, but I have great hopes in you.
No, I'm not going to do the test this week.
What?
Because I appreciate his humility, his grace. This conversation has been quite pleasant.
conversations were so bad.
I listened, so I knew what you were going to ask.
Yeah, no, so
I knew what you were going to ask.
You're ready to say Sucker Punch or Bend or whatever. That's fine. That's good. But you won, and you're going to work at one of them now, so you can just say your own studio.
We got to be careful. Yeah, right? In 5 years, he's going to be the one like managing all our exclusives and not letting us get anything.
I know. Like I keep saying, Will Powers is he holds all the power in his hands right now. He's going to ascend and dangle our exclusives in front of our faces. And then that will be you in future years.
Yeah, hopefully. Definitely so.
Great. Well, Achilles, thank you for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure watching you. I hope you continue to listen to us here as you get on the other side of the fence there. Send us all, whenever you're ready to leak information, you know to leak it to beyond@ign.com.
You already know who I'm going to call. It's the exclusive version.
Connecticut 2, here it comes.
Yeah,
all right, well, thanks so much. Give me a Beyond before you go.
Oh, Beyond!
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 I tell you, Achilles, Mike, what a great guy.
Yeah, that was great. Wow.
Yeah. You don't even know Goldfarm. You have no idea what you're talking about, Goldfarm.
Just to ruin it for everyone, when we do those things, it's so obvious, of course, but we just say something and then stop talking for a second and then just keep going.
Oh, shoot. And yeah, Clint usually breaks it at some point. There it is. I'll remember now. 364 is when I need to break this bad boy off, like a Kit Kat.
Should we get into the Maelstrom?
Maelstrom! Mail call! Reader mail.
Goldfarm.
Goldfarm mail. Hey, thank you. Good job. Good job. Good job. Let's see, what's a good one to start it with? Oh, here we go. Kevin writes in. He says, Beyond.
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 What should I cook for dinner tonight for myself and my girlfriend?
Huh.
Tacos. Okay. Anything with gluten in it. Just lots of gluten. I can't imagine living without gluten.
Tacos is a good answer. He also asks, can I be hit of the week? No, you cannot.
I just want to murder you right now. Pity Party Moriarty is
Pity Party Moriarty.
I love it.
All right, let's get your mind off of what you don't like.
Okay.
Gluten.
Yeah.
And what you do like.
I love gluten.
I was trying to reverse psychology.
Let's get an I Love Gluten shirt for you.
Topher from Cincinnati writes in, I'm wondering how you think Ass Creed developers will handle the delicate issue of depicting slavery in their new game. Is there a good way or bad way to do this?
I mean, I don't think there's definitely a bad way to do it yet. I think, I mean, it's funny because they were talking at GDC about how they've removed some sensitive stuff. Like, they talked about how scalping was in the game early on, and they took it out. So I think they're definitely aware of the need to be sensitive. I mean, Assassin's Creed 3 is a really interesting game for a lot of reasons. Yeah, slavery's up there. The fact that this game has to be marketed in the UK when it's about killing a bunch of UK soldiers.
I think they'd get over that.
I mean, for sure, but it's just like
get
something
over,
like...
Get over, you lost.
The packaging...
And I'm proud to be an American!
I mean, the packaging has American flags all over it, man. It's going to sit in next to the fucking Union Jack at the UK Best Buy. I'm sure they have British flags all over the place.
Have they already... Have they already announced the... You would know this, the British box art?
So they announced special editions only for Europe, actually. They haven't announced the U.S. special edition yet. And it's like the Live Free or Die edition and the Freedom edition. And they're covered in American flags. So it's like... Assassin's Creed 3 is a funny game because it's this incredible period of history, but it is very specific to our country. So it's interesting.
Yeah, but as I've argued in the past, and I think that people around the world recognize that...
You better recognize.
You know... I mean, I've said this before. I think you have to recognize that, and just in the course of world history, if you look at maybe the five most important events, the American Revolution is one of them for everybody, not only for us. So because it inspired the resurgence of Republican forms of little r Republican forms of democracy and representative democracy and all that stuff, and that's huge, and that influenced everybody. So
yeah, as far as slavery, like I think maybe there will be something in the game, but like I don't think you're gonna have like a slave companion or anything. Like I mean,
the way I would imagine it gets handled is that if you're walking around, you know, the colonies or whatever, there's people working on the farm or whatever you're passing right that are probably slaves, but they're not like addressed as such unless you have an evil character who's gonna be like, well, my slaves are over there, and blah blah blah. Name.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to put it in historical perspective, too.
That'd be good.
And this isn't, you know, this isn't a blanket statement, of course, because slavery was all over in all of the 13 colonies, but slavery wasn't nearly as prevalent in New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New England, all those places, as it was in the South, because slavery was mostly, you know, needed, quote unquote, for plantations, which didn't exist in the North. So. And the spirit of abolitionism began in the North, in New England specifically, and Massachusetts was definitely one of the places where it was heaviest, and upstate New York. So if that's where it's taking place between New York and Massachusetts, then you might actually see maybe something the opposite, where you maybe do some, there's some abolitionism going on. I mean, abolition was, it's a little early for that in this game, of course, but... I guess what I'm saying is that maybe the spirit will be there still of what happened in the 19th century later on. So I think that there's clever ways they can deal with it that won't be insensitive at all.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Lots to look forward to. Looking forward to that game. Colin, are you on board? I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm absolutely on board. I want to go back and play Assassin's Creed 2 and the others at some point.
That is my second most anticipated game this year.
Nice. What's your first?
Bioshock.
Yeah, Bioshock's going to be great. Trevor Cannon writes in. He says he writes in to the Wild Beyond Karoo. I think he means whole. I haven't beaten Mass Effect 2 or 3, but with all the controversy about the endings, it has made me want to play through both games as evil. When I play most games like Infamous, I play the good side. I just feel let's play evil. If the ending doesn't make everyone happy. Thoughts? Keep up the good work. I mean, Renegade isn't super evil.
Yeah.
Renegade's just more like defiant, right? Like, it's like a good Emilio Estevez role. He's just like, he's, you know, thumbing his nose at the boss, and he kills some people.
Like Coach
sure.
Bombay when he
quack, 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 Ducks. Mr. Ducksworth.
Yeah, exactly. We're on the same page. We're on the same page. And then he drives the limo on the ice.
Yeah. Well, that's when he's drunk, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's earlier. That's before he was redeemed.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, yeah. Renegade's a fine way to play. I don't do that. Like for Mass Effect, so many hours are invested in that. Such a story game to where I just play it for the story that I play once and I play as the good guy. And like Infamous, my Cole, the one I think about when I think of Cole, is the good guy, but I play bad to get the trophies and see the whole game.
It's funny because Mass Effect 1 and 2, I did at least, I did about 4 playthroughs of Mass Effect 1, and I did 2 of them were Renegade. And Mass Effect 2, I did, I think, 1 good, 1 bad. But in Mass Effect 3, I don't want to play Renegade. I just, it's like, because of the story, because of the fact that the fucking galaxy is ending and shit. Like, I don't want, who wants to waste their time punching reporters in the face and stuff?
And see, that was, I thought Mass Effect 3 did a better job of the other games of making me want to be Renegade. Because there was definitely a few points where I was just like, I'd pull the trigger and be like, shut the fuck up! Yeah. Everything's dying! We need, you know, I mean, like, there was points where I was like, yeah, totally. Whereas before, I just felt like I was being a dick to be a dick.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. I think they did a good job.
I'm on my second playthrough right now and I'm still being Paragon.
Paragon. You ever eat a Paragon?
No, I have. Everyone really? Like, everyone always eats a Paragon. Let's not go there. So I never get to go.
When does everyone always eat a Paragon? We bring
people there. Yeah.
I would love to go to Paragon.
When a Marcus Smith, all right, invite Marcus Smith over and then we'll go.
Okay, all Marcus, right. You heard it here first.
Everyone tweet. Oh no, Marcus Smith doesn't.
Can we go to Paragon like next week?
He listens to the show.
Sure. No, he doesn't.
Yeah, I think he does.
All right. Well, you just heard it. Marcus Smith, he's got a personal invite from Andrew Goldfarb.
He emails us all the time anyway.
I'm locking you in. What day next week are we going to Paragon?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, now you're not going to go with me because you're not locking in debt.
Wednesday. Let's lock it in for Wednesday.
Okay.
But then make me check my schedule. So if I have to change that, I can change.
Okay. Your schedule? All
right, my schedule. David C. Budd writes into beyond@ign.com. Question. I currently use Netflix streaming primarily through my PS3, but with Amazon's video streaming service, I am now tempted to use Amazon Prime and Switch. Not so concerned about the lack of Wii availability for Amazon, but any chance you guys will run a feature comparing the two services? I guess Hulu Plus 2. I want to know whether the shows and movies match up. David, yeah, I'm working on a feature right now about what Amazon Prime needs to do to improve, because they got little things that are weird. But for the most part, from what I've found is... pretty much, for shows especially, if it's on Netflix streaming, it's usually on Amazon Instant as well.
And the ones that aren't are, like, the ones you probably don't want. Like, to be honest, like, what's cool about Amazon, and I think we've kind of talked this to death, but, like, you can get new shows. You know, you can get stuff that, you know, just finished airing, and you can buy episodes. Like, and that's so much nicer than,
waiting for it to come to DVD and then transfer it over to Netflix.
Yeah, it's just Netflix is, like, I was so in love with Netflix for so long, but honestly, like... Amazon's just better, in my opinion. Like, I would pick Amazon.
Once they read my wish list of things to change, they will be better.
Exactly.
But the other thing to point out here, David, is that you can download the Amazon app right now for free, use it, like, to look around and see and do a little matchup yourself. You don't have to worry about that. So you can go check that out. And it'll say if it, you know, you could get it free with Prime. You don't have to spend the money on Prime yet.
I mean, also, Jeff Bezos probably listens to this podcast, so he's just taking notes.
Yeah, I love Jeff Bezos. He's the man.
By the way, you know, when we watched American Pies 1 through 3 last week, we saw firsthand the trouble with Amazon. So I hope you talk about that, because we went to like Vudu or whatever to watch the movies after that.
Yeah, well, it wasn't so much trouble with Amazon. It was just that there was a bunch of hoops to jump through of like
too many. It was like almost getting to the point of being like funny.
Yeah, it was funny, but I mean, it was just like I want to buy this movie. Okay, wait a second, you've never set up one click purchasing, so go to our website, which sucked. Do it. So I opened the iPad and I went and did that, and then I jumped. There was some other pop up and then there was the third pop-up that was like, wait, you need to set a passcode for your one. And I'm like, we're like, fuck it, I'll go use
all
Vudu.
I want to do is watch the Stiffmeister, and you're asking me to fucking
Vudu already has all my credit card information like saved. But like, that's the thing, is that it was just the setup. Once it's set up, it's fine.
Just real quick, I think Netflix is an interesting example of a company that seemed always really forward facing and actually quite ahead of the ball, and now they're in trouble.
In
the last year or so, everything's unraveling.
Yeah, they're crazy.
It's fascinating, because they were until recently, I would have been like, that's one of the companies that's going to be around for a long time, and now I'm actually starting to question that.
One other thing with Amazon, if you have a TiVo branded DVR, so not like a generic Comcast one or whatever, but like if you have an actual TiVo one, you can send the show straight to it. So like if I like, regardless of the PS3 app or anything, like, I can, you know, click something on Amazon.com and get it on my TiVo or send it to my mom's house or whatever the fuck, yeah.
Amazon's cool as fuck, man.
Yeah, Amazon, they're just, like, smarter. They do things better, I think.
They're cheap, too.
Brought to you by Amazon.com.
Justin Doss writes in. He says, really quick question, Greg. You talk about your best friend Poe a lot on the podcast. Is his real name Poe, or is that a nickname? Well, Justin Doss, that's short for his last name, which I won't reveal on this podcast.
Also, he's one of the ghosts from Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Mm-hmm. He's also one
of
the ghosts.
He just floats around with Greg, and they have adventures
He's just my invisible friend. Like, I'm just insane.
You keep him in a bottle with Ironside Joe.
Oh man, Ironside Joe, one of my favorite inside jokes with Andrew Goldfarb. And our final question of the show comes from Zeke writes into beyond@ign.com, just like you can. I have recently been converted from Xbox to PlayStation via a friend of mine, but with Diablo 3 coming out next month, I am now in the process of buying a PC to play it on. My question is, should I continue playing most of my games on PS3, or just stick to Diablo 3 on my computer, or are playing shooters, Modern Warfare 3 and RPG Skyrim and Fallout, more fun to play on the PC? Zeke.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if I could ever get mine set up. Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things where I think there's the hardcore camp on each side that would tell you the other thing. You figure for first-person shooters, the mouse and keyboard are more accurate. However, using a mouse and keyboard to play games is car sickening to me.
Yeah, me too.
You,
I can't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I mean, I think you have to take it on a game by game basis. Like Skyrim, obviously, with the creation kit and the mod tools and stuff, is probably better to play on PC. Whereas, like something like Call of Duty has a more robust community on consoles. So, like, I think you there's no like blanket statement. I think like depending on the game.
Well, then you've got me casually trying to set up a PC for 2 weeks now, and I'm now considering selling it.
Be on the consoles anyway.
Yeah, if they would announce that, it would just
and Diablo 3 is coming to consoles.
Yeah, eventually, Wolfpack.
Yeah.
Ah. That's the end of the show.
Hooray.
That was a good one. You've got to go do MPD numbers now and see how everything's sold out.
Mass Effect 3 is number one.
Colin and I got to kill time until it's time to go home. Act like we're doing something right here.
Mm-hmm. Remember, I think they call it running the clock.
Yeah. Running the clock, take a knee. ladies and gentlemen, remember, if you want to be part of the show, beyond at IGN.com. Remember that Podcast Beyond posts every Thursday on IGN.com, and that's where you need to go. Go to IGN.com. I mean, subscribe on iTunes. I don't care about that part. I mean, go to IGN.com because that's what pays the bills and keeps the microphones on. Podcast Beyond is fun. Nobody cares how many times you download it, though, sadly. That's never shown up on my quarterly raise of $1 million. Wow. So go to IGN.com, read our stories, watch our videos. If you're too lazy to go there and you just want to be notified when things hit, follow IGN on Facebook at IGN, follow it on Twitter at IGN, follow us on Twitter. I am Game Over Greggy. Colin is No Taxation. Andrew Goldfarb is A Gref, which stands, of course, for whatever.
Got that one wrong.
It's A, and then Greg always regrets fucking elderly people. I fucked it up?
There's no A at the beginning.
Oh, it's just Garfep, right. Yeah, sorry, I'm thinking your email address.
Greg always regrets fucking elderly people.
Yeah, ever since Goldfarb did that, I've never struggled to remember his Twitter name again.
What do they call that?
An acronym?
No, I know, but I know it's an acronym, but there's a name, like a...
Something with an M.
Mnemonic device?
There you go.
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
Like Johnny Mnemonic. What a great film that one is.
We always get those wrong, and people are like, Netflix. What are you fucking talking about?
He put UMDs in his head.
Exactly.
As you know, we like to end each show with a song, and when Clements isn't here, I usually play Damon's songs because I know them, but not this time. That's right. Hold on to your hats. I have an email here from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Yeah, from home Mitch of Dyer. The flames, bro.
Props to anybody who got that Lance Storm reference.
Yeah.
Our friend Dave writes in to beyond at IGN.com. Hey, guys, my band, 20 Centuries of Stony Sleep, recently released a new album. Don't laugh at him. It's a good name. 20 Centuries of Stony Sleep recently released a new album, so I thought I would submit a track for consideration on the podcast. I chose the song with the longest title in our catalog. Quote, I tried and failed and cleaned up afterwards, so it's your turn now. Mainly because when writing the outro, I was largely inspired by my memories of finishing Super Mario Bros. 2 and the dreamy end title sequence that follows. I love everything you guys do on the podcast. Blah, blah, blah. If anyone is interested, our album Circuit Crooks can be found through digital distributors like iTunes and Amazon.com.
Circuit Crooks, it would be a better name for the band.
Yeah, I agree. 20 Centuries of Stony Sleep.
Turn it around. That 20 Centuries of Stony Sleep sounds like an album name.
Okay.
And Circuit Crooks should be the name of the band.
That's
advice from Colin Moriarty.
If you're doing Circuit Crooks, please make the album cover be a bunch of different Johnny Fives in like the striped shirts with like the masks
the
on them.
Mask. Yeah, and like bags with dollar signs.
Yeah, we're just giving you free ideas here. You're welcome for us playing your song.
I went to Calgary once.
Yeah, did you see Lance Storm?
No.
What'd you do there?
I don't know what that is.
Did you play hockey?
No, I was in Montana with my dad and we drove up to Comic-Con.
Why were you in Montana?
Looking at land. My dad was looking at land to buy.
That never came together.
We went to all sorts of random ass places.
Okay. Interesting.
Maybe it did come together. You don't know.
I'm pretty sure I didn't. I'm pretty sure I know it didn't.
Okay.
I know Jerry pretty well. I'm not too concerned about
GM?
It.
GM? Big Jerry?
GJM.
Yeah, GJM.
Yeah. All right, anyways, we've bored you with our stories about Colin's dad long enough. Join us next Thursday for another thrilling episode. Dave, play us out. What does that mean?
What is it? There are no words on it.
Beyond!
Yeah, beyond. Thank you.
rushing to war with both hands on the trigger. They're free. That's what God told our generals last week. Take those sinners and make them bleed. And if they resist, make them bleed. All the people we hate lie face down in the mud. They're begging for water, choking on blood and rain. It pours down like the Lord's holy flood. By the end of the day, we'll wash them away. When we get home, we will rinse our hands clean. We'll bathe in crude oil and toast gasoline. And the rich will get richer, tan, fat, and mean. And we'll all cruise around in our pleasure machines, 'cause we're free. That's what God told our generals last week. Take those sinners and make them bleed. And if they refuse, make them bleed.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nall, executive producer of the Table Read podcast. where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.